Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we're looking into power, the significance of power. And right now we're focusing specifically on forgiveness. You know, that's what comes up when we talk about sin. We mentioned that in James chapter 5, looking at verses 14 and 15, we're told, hey, if you want healing, one of the things you need to do is confess your sins to one another. Now, a lot of people would downplay that. But here's the thing. We need to be willing to get rid of whatever is in the way of the flow of God's power towards us. A lot of times we really want to just go ahead and have everything on our own terms. There are so many of us who could be set free from works done to our bodies by evil spirits. Some of us are just wondering, what is going on with my body? Why am I going through this? And sometimes evil spirits have done it. And of course, we could get someone to intervene for us. But sometimes what has to happen is we need to be willing to go to somebody who we've done wrong and admit to them that we've done wrong. Don't make any excuses. Don't justify. Don't minimize. Just confess, apologize, and ask forgiveness. And sometimes that's all that's necessary for God to say, okay, now they've done what I've required of them. Now I'll release my healing power to them. But we have so many people who are so filled with pride. So many people who are so full of fear of what people will think about them if they realize, I did this, I did that. I said this about you behind your back. I tried to have this done to you. I don't want people to realize that I'm not the spiritual giant that I portrayed myself as being. And so I'm not going to go to that person and admit that I'm not confessing anything. And so they hold on to their confession, but they also hold on to their illness. And so often, if we would simply obey God, think about Matthew chapter 18 and think about Matthew chapter 5. Let's start with chapter 5 first, beginning at verse 23, where he says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, you're to leave your gift at the altar, go to your brother, and make things right. And that is a command. How many people refuse to do that? How many Christians refuse to do that and say, I love God? Say, I love everyone. But the love is so weak that they refuse to go even to their brother, even to their sister, and make amends, make things right for what they know they did wrong to their brother, their sister, their mother. Matthew chapter 25. You remember that your brother has something against you. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you gain your brother. And then they go on to talk about what we should do if our brother refuses to work with us, to cooperate with us in making things right. Maybe he just insists on denying he did anything. Maybe she just flatly refuses to admit, yes, I did do that. Well, you talk about the disciplinary measures that can be taken by the church. In fact, disciplinary measures that are supposed to be taken by the church when this happens. And I know that we have a lot of people who find it very difficult, really, really pulling this together. You want to make sure that you're being fair, you're being just, you're not being heavy-handed in dealing with church discipline. But disciplinary matters, handling them. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're not just completely ignoring the Lord's commands regarding church discipline. For the sake of being compassionate, showing compassion to the people who sin and whose behavior probably warrant disciplinary measures. But here you have one case where your brother has sinned against you, another case where you have sinned against your brother. In both cases, we're to get it right. Acknowledgement of sins is to be made. Confession is to be given. And amends made. You'd be surprised at how much good that can do. If all parties involved come to the table with the right attitude. This is what I mean when I say come to the table with the right attitude. Everyone involved comes together wanting reconciliation to take place, wanting the air to be cleared, wanting the slate to be wiped clean so that they can start over with the relationship and start moving forward together the way people who are born again should be moving together in Christ. Even if disciplinary measures have to be taken. As an example, a person has committed murder. They're found guilty. They're sentenced to 40 years in prison, 60 years in prison, life in prison, death penalty. The family members of the deceased, the family members of the murdered victim, extend forgiveness to the one who committed the murder. And they began to develop a relationship with each other. That is truly good. But it does not negate the fact that the sentence is still justified and warranted in light of the fact that a murder was committed. And so you may have a situation wherein, for example, a church member commits adultery and they engage in an adulterous affair. And this goes on for a while, for months. It's discovered and the decision is made that this person will have to be disciplined. Well, it's good if all parties involved can be reconciled to one another, especially the spouses who were treated so treacherously as the one that they shared exchanged vows with betrayed their trust. It's good if they can come together and really work things out, but that does not negate the fact that church discipline is still in order in dealing with the one who engaged in the adultery. Back in a few. The Lord is good.